You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, so much time we try to work out our own salvation. We try to work out, I don't know about you, but I got a history of bad decisions up to the age of 30. You know, when I first come to know the Lord, I got so blessed to find out that my sins were forgiven. But yet inside of me, I still tried to do, things to earn back what I'd lost. And, there's a difference between trying to earn it with the Lord and earn it with people you hurt. Yeah. There is a time of testing. There is a time to where we need to be who we are, be the ball type of thing. We need to be showed forth. That, for my wife, I failed her miserably. Injured her, injured family, injured a lot of people around me. And the Lord put inside of me a desire to regain trust, to regain all these things. But you know what? If we're not careful, we try to do that with the Lord. We make a transition to where we still think that we're trying to get His righteousness now, not realizing as soon as we accepted Jesus, we were righteous. Yeah. There's a Bible in the book of Hebrews that talks about entering into the rest where Israel never entered into the rest of God. And he says, where is the rest of God? Well, His name is Jesus. Amen. Yeah. We're no longer laboring to enter into the righteousness of God. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be if you're in Christ Jesus. The thing is settled. It's over. It's done deal. And thank God today, now we need to start walking in that righteousness, as Pastor explained and said in his Bible study, also a little bit here, that we need to understand that the past is past. Thank God today, And we need to understand that there's some important elements of our faith that we need to walk in. And so I'm going to touch on a little bit of that today. And the Lord's been exercising me in the area of relationships. My wife gave me a prophetic word. Matter of fact, over a month ago, I was going to on a trip to Australia. Was there for about 3 weeks, then went on to the land of Vanuatu. There's a great revival outbreak in Vanuatu that we're a part of. Had the most honored blessing in my life to ever be there. The president of a nation, the prime minister, stood up and said, "We dedicate our land to the working of God, and that we pray for us because we want the laws of our land to reflect the laws of God." Wow. Well, I was just like spellbound. I thought, "My God, what would happen? How wonderful would it be if our nation, our president, would stand up and make that kind of a decoration?" I'm like, "Whoo, glory to God! I got goose pimples on top of goose pimples," And it was awesome to see a nation being so challenged by the Word of God. I was just, I just was kind of like pinched myself and think, how in the world did I get here? How did I end up here? I'll tell you what, it wasn't by chance. There's choices that we make in our life determining the direction we get. No, we know the will of God, in our lives. Turn with me to James. Matter of fact, before I just preach all my stuff out here, turn with me to James chapter 5, and starting to read there in verse 14. We know that scripture. We use it for healing all the time. It's dynamic. As a matter of fact, it's the scripture that God used in my life to turn my life upside down, to open me up like a can of worms, and started to reveal His will to me. As a Baptist boy, I should have known that God's Word was His will, but I didn't. I had kind of concluded that the Bible was nothing more than a history book. Yeah. And that it just recorded the acts and the things of the Bible. I don't know where I just missed all the scriptures about in Him. I missed all the scriptures saying that these things that I write, I also write for your benefit. In John chapter 17, in verse 17 on down through there, He says that I might write these things that you might know. Yeah. 1 John, we'll read that in a little while, talks about why they did all that. But here in James, if you start reading at verse 13, is there anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is there any among cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any among you sick? Well, let him call upon the elders of the church and have them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, He will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. I'm reading my life right now. I'm reading my life. This stuff, I lived through this. You know? My wife called on God to bring me back into our household, and God supernaturally turned my life upside down, arrested me in a hotel room, drew me through a knot hole backwards, and I'll tell you what, I came out of that thing realizing I had messed my life all up. I didn't know how to fix it, but I figured I'd come home and I don't let no woman run me out of town, you know, come back there full of pride and arrogance and have my wife humble herself and tell me that she gave her heart to God and that if I would come back home, she'd forgive me no matter what. Wow. And I said, well, you can only say that because you don't know what the what is.
Yeah.
And she said, I can in Jesus' name. So I looked at her and I said, okay, let's just see how good your God is and how strong you are. And I opened up the can of worms. I don't suggest doing this, by the way. This is not anything that you better be led by the Holy Ghost to do it. Because I did. I opened up the garbage can, said some things, told some things I never thought I would tell a human being, things in my Navy days and this and that, you know, and things I was ashamed of, things while we were married. And after I got all done, she just looked right square in my eyes and said, as God has forgiven me, I forgive you. And I knew at that point I was not looking into human eyes. I was looking into the eyes of God. Amen. I see. Confessing our faults. We don't realize the importance of relationship, fellowship, because they lead to connections, and connections will get you around the world. You never know who you're talking to. It's God sent in your life to bring you to the level that God has for you in your life. I remember the days of way back, I was sharing it with Pastor, that I was just minding my own pastor, which is pastoring and, you know, and doing things. We had a pretty good sized church. We were running almost 600 people at one point, doing two services and, you know, just blowing and going. I thought I was the greatest thing on the earth, you know, and had been rejected by all the churches, you know, and put my nose to the grindstone. Bless God, I'll just do what God's called me. And, you know, you don't have to be careful of pride all the time. That stinking pride just tries to grow up there any old way it can get in there. And I can remember, you know, thinking, well, we'll see. And then people started coming to me, and I started feeling pretty good about myself, you know. They wouldn't ask me, nobody wanted me to preach, anything else. Now everybody wants to come to my church, you know. And so I thought pretty cool of myself. And anyways, in the midst of all that, and had some breakdowns and leadership problems and economy, I lost 50% of my church in 1 year. Lost my whole leadership staff in 1 year. Messed me all up. I went into a tail dive. And finally, my pouting got over with, and God finally could speak to me, and He said, well, who built the church? So I realized God did, and so we got back into God's team. Anyways, God, through the ministry of Bob Boos, called me up one day and said, hey, I got a fella that I go to in Australia, and I broke my back, and I can't get meetings for him. Would you take him? Because of my relationship with him, my fellowship with him, I said, yeah. Well, then he said, well, he'll be with you for 3 weeks. Oh, my God. You know, I don't even know the guy, you know. So anyways, we picked it up, you know, and that relationship built. And through that relationship, it opened up a whole other part of the world to me and have been going out to Australia for 16, 17 years. And so we do conferences over there and just got back from that. Because of that connection, opened up Vanuatu. Now we're there. I've been in Malaysia and all over the world, all through these connections, and you know, your heart has to be right. You're not connecting to get,
right.
But that's why I want to talk a little bit about it, because character is the thing that holds it together. If you don't have character, you know, even in a church setting like here, we just break it right down to marriages.
Sure.
How many of you know that when you get married, you get related? But how many, there's a lot of relation that don't ever get fellowship. People get busy, they get this, that, kids, all the rest of that stuff, and the next thing you know, you're strangers, you know. So, but through that relationship comes connections. You know, how many today, you know, like with me, I came out of the service, all my friends were all gone and everything else. But through my wife, I got connected with family, I got connected with other friends, you know, and all that stuff. And you just don't realize where that's going to take you in life. You know, the song is why it was so important for me to sing it maybe today is because this is a wonderful world. Don't let the devil rain on your parade. You know, we got to keep tapped into who we are in Christ, and that we're just going to love. Everybody say, love people.
Love people.
We just got to learn to love people. Amen. And you know, I didn't do it for years, but I used to have a smiley face on the inside of the door. So when my staff would come out of their office, they'd look at the smileys. And had a word there say smile. Because you know, you get busy, you know, you're all intense. People come out and see that, and they're thinking, wow, what's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? So you have to remember to smile. Everybody turn to somebody and give a big old smile. Show some teeth. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Not snarl. I didn't say snarl, ma'am. No, okay. All right. Where are we at? James 5:14. All right, coming down. We're coming down. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now listen to this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Now, what's that saying? Now, what is that just saying there? That means that this guy was a natural dude just the same as you and I are. He had natural emotions. He had natural feelings. And if we'll go back into the book of Kings, we'll see definitely that he was a natural man. Even though he was one of the great prophets, we see him that the brook not being so holy and spiritual. We see him in many situations. I always like that one scripture. Let's turn there real quick. 1 John. 1 John. I think that's 1 John 19, I think it is. 1 John 19, verse maybe around 9. We see him, you know, doing the great job with Baal and all the prophets. I mean, he kills off all these prophets. I know you're looking the scripture up, but let me give you a little story update here. I can't do as well as Pastor because he could tell you the freckles he had and you know all the details. I love that. I'm not knocking this man. When I was in Bible school, I loved history. I loved all the chronological charts and all the stuff. I loved that because I wasn't great. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a non-Christian home. The only thing about Christianity that I knew about was a cross and I don't mean irreverence here, but a guy hanging on it. You know, all I knew was a baby under a tree. You know, I had no knowledge of anything quite beyond that, okay? So it was important for me to learn some of the history of the Christian church. And so I'm not knocking that. I love that, matter of fact. I'm just not really what you call a real historian. I'm more of a shooter from the hip, Texas dude. No. And so anyways, we see Elijah, okay? Great prophet of God, but we see him as a natural man. No, really. I mean, he's well known for the prophet killing deal. You know, he might even be well known for some of the other things that he did. And then here, I'm just kind of give you a sandwich in between it because we'll get to the end of it. But here in 9, he's come.
First King,
19. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go back to 18. Maybe beyond that. I'm trying to go back to. I'm way ahead of myself. I'll get to 19 in a minute. Go back to 17:14. I got to go back and need to get where this guy. He just come from the brook. The brook dried up. You know what I'm saying? And in verse 9, he says, "I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." You know, I mean, after the brook dried up, and now he don't know what to do. God tells him, now it's time for you to leave and go to this land, and I've got a widow already prepared for you. You don't realize that when we're in relationship to God, and when we're in fellowship and we're communicating with God, God will speak to you, and He will prepare people for your life.
Yeah,
amen? See, He'll prepare people, and He prepared a person for that. And the real nuts and bolts of this thing, that when he met the widow, you know the story, and she didn't have anything, and he tells them to pour out some flour, and he tells her, if you'll keep pouring, there'll be no end to your flour in your oil until it rains. Now we know that at that point he had prophesied the rain deal, so we got about 3 year stores up here for this thing.
Yeah.
Now say with me today, Elijah was a natural man.
Elijah was a natural man.
He heard from God, he spoke the word of God, but you know what? He was a natural man. You know what I see in this, and it's a really example of what we, the body of Christ, need to understand is that who Jesus didn't. Can you find in your Bibles where it says the latter rain? Do you realize there's going to be a latter rain?
Yep.
Do you realize that Jesus has been a poured offering for us, that He'll never stop? Do you realize as long as we're in Christ Jesus, there's provision for us? You know, until you hear a lot of people talking about prosperity and all that stuff, listen to me. This, Jesus had this all set up. Prophets of days all prophesied. We need to draw from them and realize that as Elijah spoke to this woman, we need to speak to some things. And we need to understand that God has some things prepared for us. And we need to be moving in the Spirit. We need to be giving on every wave. We need to be doing these things. Because as long as you do it, it will keep on pouring. But the Bible tells us this, but yet in the tendency, we have a tendency not to walk by faith, but to walk by sight. And stop giving, stop doing, stop praying. Somebody dies in their family, we give up healing. Somebody loses their job, we think God missed it or something like that. God has provisions for you and me. Can you say amen? It never ceases, it never stops, it'll never run out, because Jesus is still pouring. Come on, there's going to be a latter rain. There's going to be a catching up with the church. But until that time comes, friends, we have provisions for ourselves. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we see this natural guy, this Elijah the prophet. Hallelujah. Done his killing, done his stuff. Then we see him in 19 end up in a cave. Because some Jezebel said something. You know? How many of you know today the devil is always out there yakking and talking? How many of you know the devil can get into people and cause them to come up and rise up against you, and family members that love you will turn against you or whatever? I've even seen wives and husbands and children and everything else. The devil will use anybody or anything he can to get you just to shut up and sit down. That's what it's all about. You can take all this gospel, you can take all this stuff. I'm just a narrow-minded, simple person, and it all boils down. I boil things. I just keep boiling them down, see what the... That's why I like the Cajun food there. You know, it's got that good Cajun... What do you call that? Roux, you know, it's just all that stuff boiled down until you just got a paste left, you know? And I'll tell you, that's why I like... That stuff over there in Australia, you know that, what's that called, that stuff? They put on everything? Vegemite.
Vegemite.
It's just nothing more, just boiled down stuff. I mean, it's just got down to a paste. That's what it is. But see, I like bringing it down for me to understand stuff. I just got to boil it down. Bottom line for me is, if he thought he could kill you with a hangnail, he'd do it. If he thought he could stop you because somebody stomped on your toe, did something wrong to you, or stole from you, or talked ugly about you, or left you, or talked lies about you, if he thought he could get you so offended that you would stop being a Christian and just sit down, go to church, sit home, and do nothing more, you know, sit home at Halloween and, you know, criticize everybody that's out there Halloweening, you know, or you can get involved in the program. You know, and give some alternatives. We can sit back and picket, you know, abortion and tell everybody's had an abortion. You sin, you miss God, God hates you or whatever, you know. Or we could have some alternative things
come
for
on.
Children.
Come on.
You know, these women are out there, you know, getting pregnant. Well, you know what? Took a guy to get them that way. You know, stop picking all on the guy and on the girls. You know, the guys, you know, how about some moral teaching for the young boys of our churches? Amen. Give me hallelujah. Oh, well. Oh, God, help me. All right. 1 Kings 19. Here we see him. Verse 9, there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came upon him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord." How many people have backslid from church on that one? Go out and, you know, and he says, "I've been zealous for you, Lord, and the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant." Bless God. "Tore down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left." Friend, when you get into that kind of shape, you might just say amen because you're backslid. Because see, Elijah is just like you and me. We get in situations where we say in our heart, we're the only one. Now I'm telling them a story of my life because see, back there when I had that 600 church, that's how I started feeling. I'm the only one. Thank God for Brother Osteen. They said, "Brother Osteen, what's the success of your ministry?" He says, "When others left, I stayed." And so you know what I thought in my heart? You know what? I guess I'll just stay. And so guess what? Years later, we've gone past that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, a lack of fellowship is the main reason I believe Christians are weak.
Sure.
Turn with me to 1 John 1, 3 through 7. Let's just go ahead and get to the meat of it. Verse 3. "That which ye have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write you that your joy may be full." I come to you with this statement that you'll never have fullness of joy unless you're in fellowship. You know that for a fact for a husband and wife. There's a lot of people married but don't have in fellowship. Amen. We thank God today that through the relationship with God, we now are open and we can have fullness of righteousness and we can have self-respect and self-worth and all the important ingredients that we need in our life. But you know what? That's not good enough for us because God inside of us has not only just put a hole for salvation that needs to be plugged, but we need one another. Can you say amen? You might think you're an island. You might think you're like Elijah. But guess what? God designed you for fellowship.
Yes, praise God.
Fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and with one another.
That's good.
Now you can go ahead and put love in there if you want to.
Yeah.
But show me love without fellowship.
Right.
Jesus says, you know, you say you love me? Well, do what I say.
Right. Yeah.
You say you love me? Then one another. Well, where have we rejected you? Or where did we love you? Well, when you went to the jail, when you went here, when you went there, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. See, it's all connected about forgetting about ourselves and saying, look, I am going to make you more important than me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Did not Jesus lay down His life? Didn't He show us the pattern? Didn't He tell us to forgive? Did He forgive?
Yeah.
Did He lay down His life?
Yeah.
Well, that's all we're doing. If we're saying that we're going to pattern, if we're going to be Christian, Christ-like, then what we got to do is we got to live a sacrificed life.
Yeah.
We got to lay down our wants, our likes. And it's hard because people can be kind of ugly from time to time. I didn't say it was easy. I just said that's what we need to do.
Yeah.
Amen. And what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We got to go to the cross.
Hallelujah.
We got to have a vision or a thought before us that says, look, He suffered far more than I'll ever suffer. He was rejected far beyond I'll ever be rejected. He bled, I'll never have to bleed like that. Possibly. Who knows, in the latter day. I don't know. We'll let that all be doctrinally hit back and forth. Okay? Nehemiah 8:10. Listen to this here. Then he said to them, go in and eat. How many of you know the story about Nehemiah? I love this guy. I love this thing. We got into a little bit of the history of that and just slid by Nehemiah a little bit there. But I tell you what, oh man, oh Nehemiah. You know, come out of his safety zone, got some stores from the king, went down to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls and the gates, and everything's going good. You got people going for him and working good. And you know, then he hit a little wall with the nobles. They were tired. They didn't want to do anything more. You know, I love Nehemiah because he old Nehemiah. He says, man, you know, If you can't do it for yourself, do it for your brother. And that stirred me, turned my life. My daughter passed away. I lost my motivation, lost my drive. And God spoke to me through Nehemiah. I said, "Look, if you can't do it for yourself, because I just lost it. I couldn't find any depth within me to do anything more. I just ran out of steam. I was functioning, but inside I was empty. You know." And God spoke to me in this scripture. Said, "If you can't do it for yourself, Jerry, do it for your brother." I also had children alive. I had grandchildren. I had a church. I can't be dying. I can't stop. There's a cause. There's a cause in the body of Christ. You know, though 1,000 fall before us, 10,000 rise, there's a cause in the body of Christ today to stand strong and be who you are in Christ Jesus, because God is not done with us yet. Amen? There's more to be done. Don't ever think that you've come to the high pinnacle of your life. No. This just goes on and on and on. We need to motivate ourselves to follow Christ and all these things. And so Nehemiah comes here. It's all done. The walls are built. And then the prophet opens the Bible, opens the Word. And the people start crying and weeping and tearing themselves. And Nehemiah stands up and says, Whoa, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. No. We're in the old Nehemiah. Okay. And he said in 8:10, and he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those who have nothing to is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Come on. Hallelujah. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time, but there's also a time for enjoyment and laughter. And I want you to know I've been down here enjoying and having laughter. And guess what? It brings strength. And you know, when you get together for some of these fellowships and you're having fun, some people sit back, "Man, you just need the Word of God. That's all." No, you need more than the Word of God. You need some joy. You old sour puss, you. Amen. So we need the joy of the Lord. Amen. You know, we just can't let fellowship be broken. You know, hallelujah. I got some real quick things. I'm just going to say I don't have time. I've jabbed too much, but I want to give you some. I call them the one another's. One another's. Number one, one another. Serve one another. Just write it down, Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity of the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Everybody say one another's.
One another.
We need to serve one another. We need to accept one another. Romans 15, verse 7, "Therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God."
Yep.
We're not just going to serve one another, we're going to accept one another. Forgive one another. Forgive one. Colossians 3:13. Hearing, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. You know, some of this stuff isn't saying if you feel like it stuff.
That's right.
All right. Everybody say, serve one another.
Serve.
Accept one another.
Serve.
Forgive one another.
Yeah.
Greet one another. Greet one another. Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And the churches of Jesus Christ greet you. Well, our custom is not like some of the customs of yesterday. We don't go around kissing everybody most of the time. But you know, for us charismatics, a hug is a pretty stretch. You know, sometimes to get past that handshake, you just got to bring them in. You know what I'm saying? So, we just say, if you're going to do a hug, a kiss, or whatever, do it holy. Can you say amen? Look to the woman next to you, unless it's your wife. She's older, she's your mother. If she's younger, she's your daughter. If she's in between, don't look at her. Know what I mean? Now he tells us to look to the women as sisters, mothers, daughters. Hallelujah. Women, look at the men in the same manner, with the male gender. All right. Everybody say, greet one another. Bear one another's burdens. Didn't say talk about them. Didn't say give your opinion about them. It said bear one another's burden. Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is what? Love. You ain't loving somebody when you're talking about their problems. Okay? Well, I'm not gossiping, but you know, so-and-so did this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah. We need to pray for them. How about just praying for them? Leaving all the other information out of it, okay? I don't mean to be I'm a guest. I don't need to get in. I know this. I preach this in my church. I probably should have left it there. Okay. Okay. Another one. Be devoted to one another. You know, there's a problem in the body of Christ. There's just no flat commitment. But we need to be devoted to one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Hallelujah. We need to stick up for one. So don't just believe every stupid report that comes through. There's a lot of accusations against pastor. I've never heard one against your pastor. But you know what? There's somebody out there all the time thinking that they can do something and come in. And it's amazing to me how many people will just take it as fact. Never check out, never nothing. No, we need to be devoted to one another and honor one another, which is my next one. Honor one another, which is also Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Then lesson, we need to teach one another. Romans 15, verse 14, Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Amen? Anybody in this room been here for over a year? You should be able to teach a Bible study. You should be able to speak and love one another at church, you know, or on the job. And you should be able to teach one another. In other words, pastor sitting here, he didn't leave when I'm preaching. You know, that says I've been places where the pastor wasn't even there when I preached. Invited me into preaching, wasn't even there. Because he was above that. Okay? Elders, you're never above sitting under your pastors. Pastors, we go to conventions, we do different things. So why? We need to sit under ministry too. You know? Why? Because we're able to teach and bless one another. We can glean from one another. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And that doesn't mean always just verbally teaching, sit down and we'll teach you something. That means by the manner of your life. So we teach volumes just by our manners, by what we do and how we say it, you know. And like I said, the thing that destroys connection more than anything is a lack of character. You know, we need to build our character right along with our knowledge of God. I've known some people are just flat, not people I can be friends with.
Right.
Love their word. I couldn't be friend with them. Their character is just not there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
My Bible tells me bad company corrupts good morals.
Yeah.
I ain't going to hang with somebody who doesn't have good marriage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I love you and I'll befriend you, but you know, I'm going to look at you, you're going to teach me how to raise my kids, and your kids are running around like hellions or something, you know?
Yeah.
No. All right. Still loving me? Submit to one another. Ephesians 5:21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. It all connects. Hallelujah. What are we talking about? The one another's of fellowship.
Yes, praise God.
This is the nuts and bolts of Christian life. This is what how you're going to have a good church is by applying these one another's.
Yes.
Not to somebody else. Don't be thinking about, honey, now that's what you need to be doing. No. This is just your own self. Take a little checkoff list here, okay? I got one last one here. Encourage one another. I want to encourage you today. You got a beautiful church here. You're doing a wonderful job. But you know what? We can always do better. Can you say amen?
Right.
Encouraging one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we want to thank God today. Elijah made a calculated error in his life, which I believe eventually caused him to just be totally taken out of the prophetic ministry. And a new man in town, a new sheriff came to town, Elijah. You know? Because why? How can you be a part of the body of Christ if you think you're the only one? Because we're not. We're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. We make up one whole. Do you realize the Holy Spirit unites us and makes us one today? There's no individuals here. We're all one in Christ Jesus right now. The Holy Spirit does that. You know good and well, you probably wouldn't be friends with half these people if it wasn't for Christ. That's the truth, isn't it? We'd be all offended up. We'd be jealous of one another. I'm just intimidated by that Mike, because he's a historian teacher, and I just, you know, he just does it all, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no intimidation because there's no competition. Would you just bow your heads with me today, Father? I thank you today. Just these one another's, just a simple thing. But Lord, I thank you today. It's so important for us to understand that we are part of a whole. Father, that you created us for relationship. Your whole desire with man was just to be related to them, to be our Father. And we thank you today that through that fellowship, we can see our destiny. We can do our plans. And we understand without fellowship, we'll never get into the connection end of this thing. And without connections, we'll never fulfill our vision, because we'll always have these character flaws that kind of trip us up. God will connect you with somebody, and then you get flaky, and then they'll just not want anything to do with you. So we want to thank God today through your word that we can apply Romans chapter 14 or chapter 12, and that we can understand by the renewing of our mind, we can prove what is good and accept the perfect will of God. So Father, we thank you today through this connections, Father, and through a character building, Lord, we can end up in the area of the visions. How all these visions, individual callings, how they unite into one purpose for a thrust into a community to save this community, to touch the community. Lord, as we don't go forth as individuals, we go forth as a whole. We go forth maybe under the title of this church, but Lord, I thank you today we are under the banner of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you today, no matter what our church name is, Lord, we know that we're flying under that flag of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you today, Father, I thank you today right now that you touch the hearts of this congregation. And somebody here today has been feeling alone. I felt so strong in my spirit. Everybody, just bow your head today. I'm not going to call you up. So if everybody will bow your head, if you feel like you've been all alone, if you think you've just been the only one. Now, I'm not knocking you, because I'll tell you what, we've all been there from time to time. But you know what? The times are so important for us to understand that Jesus wants you not to feel alone. That you're never going to be alone, because why? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And maybe you've been injured and you're rejected and you've been holding on to some of those things. Would you just slip your hand up? I don't know you, so you don't. I'm not going to be telling the pastor, thank you, ma'am. Anybody else here today? Just you? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. You've just been alone, or felt that way, been hurt, been maybe wounded a little bit, and you're saying, Pastor, I know I've got to move back into the things of God. I need to roll up my sleeves. I need to be a part. I realize I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Devil, you're a liar. Nobody in this room is alone. Anybody else? We had a couple of hands. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Sir. Yes, ma'am, thank you. We'll put it down. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I bind up the works of the enemy. It would only be the enemy that would try to bring that kind of despair and hurt and rejection into the lives of people. By the name of Jesus, I break its power. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you today. We ask, Holy Spirit, now, Father, I thank you for a refreshing for these individuals, Father, that their soul will be flooded with your spirit. And Father, the warmth of God. And I just by an act of faith, I just wrap my arms around myself, and as though you were in my arms right now, and I just give you a big squeeze, and I say, Father, I thank you today. Right now, let the love of God so penetrate their soul that when I think about the song I just sang, grassy fields, velvet floor, that we see the sun shining. And Lord, we leave this place feeling good about ourselves, because we know that you've made provision for us, and that we're whole, we're perfect. You made us perfect. There's nothing lacking within us. There's nothing needed in us. All we have to do is flow in your word and let your word love on us and tell us who we really are. I thank you today. Father, we thank you for it. We know the truth, and the truth has set us free. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Thank you for inviting me. And we love this church. We love this pastor. And anybody ever come up Michigan way? Well, you always got somebody to visit. All right? God bless you.